Blog Talk Radio.
Fist up for the one that got away. When we left for dead, you're the one we gotta say. Framed by the pigs way back in Jersey. The only thing you really free to do is serve. When you fight for your rights and you stand, watching for the man, on drugs in your land, guns in your hand. Yes, Mando, go and tell, bro. Don't he open any letters, hit this window, come and tell, bro. Whips and chains, whips and chains. Sitting around waiting for the shit to change. Your point finger's not at, just complain. Started didn't fight, just shift the blame. Kids getting off for murder, nobody pushing it further. Bunch of lost sheep out here looking for a herder. Killed off our leaders, what the fuck you expect? Violence is the beat, only thing you respect. I watch news clips today. America had always got some shit to say. Terror breeds terror, just drop bombs. Some mothers and their kids, yeah, just today. But shit, I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. So Bobby come my neck and throw they wouldn't shoot they weapons. Seen his mama get the news, yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, whips and chains. The American ways, playing whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a soda. Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American ways, playing whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a soda. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a soda. Crips and blood, pimps and thugs. Nobody kill their brother, nigga, just because you created these conditions. Racism, segregation in LA. Fed kids on the schools with the hate. Chase the Panthers out the states. Whoa, run, go inside a run. Torture that woman in a cell. Broke her out of jail. Now you wanna spread propaganda, but we woke up. No more for you to sell. Devils go to hell. Fred Hampton, the inner city. Building unity with gangs. They working with it. CIA did everything they could to flood the hoods with heroin. At the same time, passed away our heroines. But I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Drug Fred fell asleep inside his bed. Then they shot him dead, bottle in a sack. Yeah, it's all right now. Now whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Bobby, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains, the American way. Plays whips and chains. Kill Sophie, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill King, kill X, kill Fred.
She escaped, you put a bounty on her head.
Poison water in the air and the food.
We already dead, so what else we got to lose?
Once we realize the power that we have as a people and put our minds together as we unite to defeat you. Question lies they teach you, don't conform to authority. Cause under uniforms, human bonds I bleed to.
No justice, no peace, what the people say. The any goals finna go rise and lead the way. 154 cops, but where's that for Trayvon, Grant Rice, Mike Brown, and Freddie Gray?
I don't wanna talk right now. Took another bullet to my heart right now. Everybody's gone, now they wanna start and touch us about the revolution, yeah, it's about to start right now.
I have advocated, and I still advocate, revolutionary changes in the structure and the principles that govern the United States. I advocate self-determination for my people and for all oppressed people inside the United States. I advocate an end to capitalist exploitation, the abolition of racist policies, the eradication of sexism, and the elimination of political repression. If that is a crime, then I am totally guilty.
Whips and chains, whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Martin, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Malcolm, but you'll never get a stutter. Whips and chains. The American way plays whips and chains. Kill Fred, but you'll never get a stutter. Kill Huey, but you'll never get a stutter.
Things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we don't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've been held down before,
survive. And if you're trying to make it, they only push you aside. They really don't have nowhere to go. Ask them where they're going, they don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're gonna put our shirts together, gonna polish up our act. Well, and if you've never been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
I'm your host this evening, Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem, and we're in the beautiful city of Washington, D.C., and we're giving you more of what you actually listen to your radio for. We greet you, assalamu alaikum, and hotep. Some just say shalom wa alaikum in Hebrew. But we do wish you peace and black power and pass the ammunition. We're here tonight to load you up with the energy, the intellect, the culture, the idealism. And we'll block that call with a strong military. And we're here in Washington, especially, being observant. No insurrection here, buddy. We're here for the second resurrection of really the first insurrection, because there's been so much deception in the idealism that we are a great nation. And my scientists and researchers tell me that it's actually a corporation in disguise. And I can land to be corrected tonight. I can actually stand to be corrected tonight. But it's a corporation on our land. I just don't swallow the concept. A great nation would practice a strange form of idealism, which would be a strange form of injustice towards black people for hundreds of years, and still call itself a great nation and attempt the same tenacity, the same tyrannical habitations, same forms of corruption. Live. They're not live like Black Power Radio, but they're definitely live, and they are alive and well in America at this hour. So we attempt to give you some form of freedom, some form of justice that you can touch, that you can actually manage with your own hands, which is, again, the idealism and the philosophy that came from all of our ancestors, from the Dr. Frederick Douglass on into Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., from the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad back to Denmark Vesey, from the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey on into William Edward Burcourt Dubois. Some just call him Du Bois. But on that strength, we stand with freedom and justice in our hands. It's up to you to manage it, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, a great government, a great nation would never just lynch a man for jumping in a swimming pool. I mean, there's just all types of strange stories that would justify the government back the whole massacre in Tulsa, which is part of our subject tonight. They just wholesale bombed 10,000 houses specifically belonging to black people and reported there were 300 people dead or missing. And once I started to interview the township, they said, well, the number could have easily been well over 3,000 black people that were in a massacre in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we won't go on and on into Rosewood and all of the things they call the devil's punch bowl in America. Just Google easily in Natchez, Mississippi, another 25,000, they say, that were put to death over just somebody had a bad hair day, someone reached for a taser and was a laser or a taser. And those type of things consistently happen to us today to increase the body bag count. I'll suggest to you strongly, brother and sister, that maybe you should just stand your ground for justice and freedom for our people in this hour, and freedom from miseducation, freedom from the things that are being done to our youth, not just the idealism that's put in the just a general society thinks you're a drug dealer and you're a hustler and you got money because you drive a nice car or you happen to have a nice home, and somehow you got your stuff illegitimately. And I'm here to update you and upgrade you, brother and sister, that we have to manage against this very peculiar form of what I call capitalistic communism, a form of convenience by government, convenience by business, whichever will meet the convenience. They become a government when it's necessary and become a business by convenience. So this is a strange mentality, a very peculiar form of government. If there's no government that matches this on the earth, while still holding us at bay, they had body bag count on the COVID, and the black man came up with zero body bag. Well, no cases or known cases of COVID. So they go from zero to 1,000 quickly, from 1,000 to 5,000 body bags. On black, they're pointing this out. The government, the governor of Louisiana and the president of the United States chimed in the same day to say Africa, America. And from there, every medical doctor, every philosopher, every radio talk show host, everybody that had an opinion from the wine hole to the white supremacy house was telling you African American, these body bags and this COVID. Well, that escalated to 10,000, which was not enough. And, of course, 20,000 was not too many. If you say it's not even be COVID. Yeah, we know.
And then they asked Pitts on the jail with telephone service provided by Paytel Communications. This call will be recorded and subject to monitoring at any time. You may begin speaking now.
Circumstances, social circumstances that are unmatched anywhere in the world today. And we have our national spokesman on standby as we open with our monologue, but we're going to go directly to it tonight because we came to shake up and to wake up our vast listening and our vast participating audience. And this government is no match to the government that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the order and the structure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in the heavens and the earth. Allah appeals to us to please think not that this gimmick or this made-up creation of yours is greater than the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to remind you, brothers and sisters, that there are no negotiations or no deal that cannot be made. The only deal that cannot be made or proposed is the one that we haven't proposed. And, beloved, the only demand that cannot be met is the demand that we have not made in collective solidarity, meaning with our Tawheed. The Tawheed is our unity of the Quran. The Umoja is our collective solidarity or unity in Swahili, our African black unity, our melanated unity. That is a peculiar unity to non-melanated folks. We want you to know, brothers, that we have our freedom in our hands. Now it's up to us to manage it. We have the justice in our hands. It's up to us to manage it. I want to know, brothers and sisters, tonight, how do you behave in the face of an opportunity as we go behind the walls to pick up our national spokesman, who is right online with us tonight, live from the pit county, Wham Pit, set up a county that was a nightmare to Donald the Duck Trump, a nightmare to Bull Connor, a nightmare to old Wooden Tooth Jeff Sessions, and all of those that have practiced injustice towards black people all the way up to this hour. We want to welcome to the airways our beloved national spokesman, the Honorable Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Well, alaikum salam, Black Power family. I hope that you can hear me. I've been transferred to a different location in the facility after my disciplinary segregation time and period in the hospital. I'm still healing. I'm still recovering from my medical situation. However, I just wanted to take this time to thank those brothers and sisters who came down and joined with the New Black Panther Party national body and lobbied in front of the courthouse here in Pitt County, North Carolina, the hotbed of racial injustice. I also want to say that this may be my last time coming before the radio audience live for quite some time because I need time to heal from the procedures and things that were done as a result of the medical situation. That's something that I'm not going to get too in detail with right now, but I will say this, that no matter what happens, understand this, that the general orders are in effect and we must hold the line. We cannot be of the mindset that we think that all skin folk are kinfolk because they're not. I suffered numerous attacks along with the systematic injustices that have been meted out to me. I suffered numerous attacks, not from the Aryan Brotherhood, not from the Ku Klux Klan, but from the black man. But we have to understand that all black folk ain't kinfolk. And we have to also understand that we must be vigilant in understanding that they are agent provocateurs and reactionary folklorists in every organization whose job it is to do the government's bidding and to strategically destabilize and to strategically dismantle our organizational structures. So we have to close ranks. We have to be mindful that every time that we get one step forward, there's an agent trying to push us back to or trying to provoke us to do something that is illegal or immoral that would give our organizations a face that does not need to be the face of the organization. If we're an organization and we're acting in rightness, in righteousness, if we're an organization and we're doing what the will of God is for his people, then you can best believe that right inside of the ranks with you when you're on the prayer rug, right beside you on the prayer rug is Satan. So we have to be mindful that Satan is deceptive intelligence which causes you to rationalize your disobedience to the laws of God. So if that's the case and we understand that it is the case and we understand that it is the reality, then we have to get our minds right. We have to get our consciousness right so that we can recognize things when they are before us and not try to look at the world through rose-colored lenses. We have to also be mindful of the fact that every move that we make has to be a strategic move. It has to be a thought-out move. It has to be carefully planned. We just cannot continue to be reactionary in a protracted war. We're in a protracted war. That means that it is an ongoing war. This ain't just a damn battle. Battles last for 1 or 2 days. This is a war, and it is an ongoing situation. So we have to understand the terrain that we're fighting on. We have to understand what kind of weapons we are using to fight this war. Then we have to truly understand what it is that we're fighting for. And those that are engaged in this battle, those that are engaged in this war, those that are engaged in this process with us, they have to be politically educated so they can respond correctly at the right time for the right reason and under the right circumstances. We have an uneducated people on the battlefield with us. They really don't have a concept of what it is that they're fighting for. So they really can't be depended upon for the long haul if they don't have a basic understanding of what it is that the fight is all about. So we have to get back in the community. Get back in the community. Door to door. And educate our people. Politicize our people. Get them into the conscious mindset of what this whole movement is about. Until that happens, we're going to constantly be a people on a damn treadmill, going fast but actually moving nowhere. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. If the tire's flat, change the tire. Some of these old, outdated, antiquated ideological constructs need to be put in the graveyard and left there. They didn't work then, so why are we trying to recycle them to make them work now? You know, they were failures when they were brought into two different mindsets to try to infuse them inside the struggle. They failed. Leave them where they are in the graveyard of failure, and let us get these young minds, these young black minds out of these colleges and these universities and get them involved in this legal process. Get them involved in the politics of struggle. And get them to develop ideological constructs for us that are congruent with our social and political current realities. We're trying to fight a current war using antique weaponry, using antique ideological constructs, using antique strategies. While the white man is in the sky building cyber weapons that could beam down on an ant on a black knight. A black ant on a black knight and blow him off the sidewalk, we are still walking around with cap guns. So we have to understand what we're dealing with, who we're dealing with, and how best to respond to our enemy. See, we're reacting to our enemy. That's what the enemy wants you to do. A reaction is a movement without thought, spontaneous. We have to develop strategies by which to fight this war. And I mean by develop strategies, I mean we have to study war. Allah says in the Quran, in the Holy Quran, fighting is prescribed for you. It is a prescription from God. He said oppression is worse than slaughter. Fight them where you find them and slay them where you find them. Those who are the oppressors, slay them where you find them. He's commanding us to fight. He's commanding us to fight for the women, the children, the sickly, those who are disadvantaged, those who are oppressed. He said fight, 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 fight in defense of them. Fight in defense of them, but keep up prayer. Keep up the faith, and I will back you in that fight. I will protect you in that fight. He promises victory to the believer. He says, no longer will we grieve. So you're hearing from Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad, a man who has suffered much, but I'm still resilient. I'm still strong, even under the oppression that I'm placed under, this kind of oppression of broken men. But I'm like Conrad George. Conrad George, I have to say, you would never count me among the broken. Why? Because I serve a God that is a living reality. I serve a God that I know is a living reality. I am married to a woman that I know is a warrior queen. And I'm married to the movement. But I have two wives. One wife is Sister Janae Hakima Muhammad. And the other wife is the Black Consciousness, Black Power, Black Liberation, Pan-Africanist Movement.
Black Power.
So I have two wives that I have to fight for and two wives I have to take care of. So it's time for us to man the fuck up. Man up and stand strong and stand firm and do not break under pressure, because I'm going to tell you something. They fear us. They fear us. They have never been more afraid of black people than they are at this moment, at this hour, at this minute in time. But what are we going to do with that fear that they have of us? Now is the time. We have to seize the time. This is our time. This is our moment. When we say whose streets are our streets, and we say whose this is our that, whose land our land, it is not ours unless we take control of it. That's all.
Black Power, you must strike while the iron is hot. Assalamu alaikum to you, my beloved brother and national spokesman, the Honorable Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad, live from the inside of the pit in the Greenville, in the pits of hell in the state of North Carolina. But we must strike when the iron is hot, beloved brothers and sisters. And the other portion of that equation, we must, again, fight tyranny and fight oppression until with the Most High God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to us, until there's no more tyranny, no more corruption in the land. They say, well, you Muslim brothers have a big agenda. Well, every human being has been assigned the same agenda, just so many will not take up the fight. We have decided to take up the fight, brothers and sisters, to fight the oppression, to fight tyranny, until there's no more on the land. My life takes me from Truman Eisenhower, from Carter, Reagan, Bush, from all of these, from Clinton to Obama to, again, Bush, Black, Donald the Duck Trump, and now the all-time mayor, Joe Biden's on the set. And
that's right.
Trump's God, his point guard, was Fauci on the National Institutes of Health and the Centers for Disease Control. Now, 46, they called the old one 45, and the new one 46, his point guard on the medical circumstance is Fauci. So he has no managerial skill or not enough to go out and find a decent health professional or a decent scientist, even a melanated, a black scientist that can update and inform us exactly what we're managing against. When they tell you in one breath, the one side of the equation doing 45, they say the children are nearly totally immune. The children won't get the COVID. Now we got thousands of children and thousands of black children that have this pandemic. You call it COVID-19.
There are 60 seconds remaining.
I know for sure that it is COVID-18.
Yeah, I got 60 seconds, but I love y'all. Black power.
Big love and black power. And assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. We love y'all here. Hold the line. Black power.
Black power and pass the ammunition.
Goodbye.
But we know on that strength of Brother Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad, and on the strength of all of our brothers and sisters, that we have been ambushed, we have been subjugated to a condition of oppression when they say separate swimming pools, separate place to drink water from the water fountain. That on a park bench, a locked mark for the Negro, another park bench mark for the white man, and tell you where to sit on a bus. And the same thing as he said, that we were fighting for voters' rights and the Dr. King bill and the Thurgood Marshall papers is the same paper we fighting for, a Voters' Rights Act in 2021. Brother and sister, if you don't wake up, you deserve whatever circumstance that the opposition and your open enemies, whatever he has for you, you deserve it. If you don't stay, if you come anywhere in touch with freedom and justice as it being taught here on Black Power Radio, and you don't do something to make a change, then you deserve whatever he's dishing out. I'm giving it to you straight tonight. Coming straight from the hip, we have our bona fide, solidified, our Minister of Justice out on that west side, right in Los Angeles, California. We want to welcome to the airways a dynamic, just a legal jurisprudence mind that's a nightmare against the opposition and fighting for the black man, woman, and child at this hour, local and national and international levels. We want to welcome Dr. Mello Desire to Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Peace be unto you, Black Power family. How are you?
Peace be unto you. We're doing fine.
So
Black
grateful.
Power.
Black Power.
Fantabulous. Black Power.
It was so great to hear Brother Biko's voice, and our prayers are with him, but more importantly, strategic action for his case is what's needed. So we will definitely move forth with the key players that is over his case. And so that's one thing I want us to be very clear, that when we work together, time to learn the law, it'll move mountains, but it's hard to just disperse information and it's not acted upon. It's not financed. And yet we complain about how things aren't changing. And I want us to understand the pain that Brother Biko is going through right now. He is representing all of us, but we're out there. We're outside and he's inside. And we have to understand every day that we're outside breathing fresh air, our brother is taking all of the pain of our black people inside these cages. And it's not a good thing for us to continue to pray, to continue to dialogue rather than putting our thoughts to action. So the next couple of weeks, there's a current case, as I said, we're facing here in Los Angeles called Vexatious Litigant. And this is one means that the court system uses to continue to violate our civil rights. And so, Brother Farrakhan, he was correct when he said they fear us. They fear us, but they're not going to fear us if we don't activate our power. So all I ask in the next 2 weeks is that you guys take notice of discrimination, read it. This is an affidavit that the new Black Panther Party, especially coming from Department of Justice, for us to serve justice and start with this affidavit. This is a one-page document that states the name of your violator, the time of the violation, and they have 30 days to sign it. This is official document only if you activate it. So we ask brothers and sisters nationwide, internationally, if you have a current and you want to seek justice, you've got to start with this first piece of document. And it will be available. Currently we have Instagram up, but we're working on our website and Facebook. That way you can have an easier way to like, share, subscribe, and share it with those who are currently facing charges. Many of our family members are going through cases that we can now help with documentation. So please, Black family, look into the Notice of Discrimination. It is a one-page affidavit, and it states on the bottom the Civil Rights Code of 1866 and 1964. This is what our leaders in the past have fought for. But we hadn't had a national call to action where everyone who has a case served their individual oppressor. Once this is served, in the next 90 days, 3 months, we can have a national database online and start comparing these cases. But we cannot do so if we don't know who you are, if we don't know the nature of your case, if you don't know the name of your violators, the arresting agents, the probation agents, the county supervisor, the sheriffs, the local district attorneys, the fraternal order of that location, and the state governor. These are a few players that you must identify, Black family, any time that your rights are violated in the judicial system. In the meantime, Brother Biko, he is going to be our first priority in making sure that everyone do their job outside. And all we have to do in the comfortability of enjoying outdoors is to write these letters, a notice of discrimination, and serve it to your respective party. Brother Biko is going to have a specific notice of affidavit served to Josh Stein. At the time of this case was announced, Juneteenth, for the last 4 months, July, August, September. Now we're going into October. So almost 4 months that this man has been, rights have been violated. And that's something that we must take serious. We must show compassion to our brothers. Imagine if we're in their shoes. And so many times that we have an opinion, we are not able to bear the same pain that we're watching our brothers go through. But yet we have an opinion. We don't do what we're supposed to do. And so we need your help, Black family. We cannot do it individually. We have to do it as a unit. All the ingredients are there for us to make this movement that had started in the 60s to be effective for 2021. The only thing that changes is the year and the time and dates. But what has never changed is your need for wisdom and knowledge. And so this one-page affidavit, it's very important for you to download it and use it. And then we'll have further discussion on how we can individualize this document. But you have to call in. You have to let us know what's going on and how we can help. Black Power Radio is a platform that we cannot take for granted. When you have information that will help your family spiritually, economically, and mentally, we must take heed to these instructions. If we don't respect ourselves, how do we expect others to respect us? And that's what's been happening for over at least four centuries. So I appreciate this platform. And again, Brother Biko, our prayers are with you. But more importantly, there is a plan of action that's working as we speak. So we don't take this lightly. And we want everyone to make sure that this is a priority, that our brothers who are in jail right now are seen and exposed and get out. And that way the government, this government that was created for our oppression, will actually have to dismiss themselves. Civil rights violations cannot go for so long unless we activate it. So take those notice, and thank you, Brother Iman Sheikh Akbar, for the opportunity to greet the family. And I look forward to the rest of the show. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Dr. Desire. As a footnote and a reminder to our vast listening audience, that Brother Stephen Biko, Farrakhan Muhammad, is in Pitt County Jail in North Carolina, accused of a armed robbery. While we have signed affidavits that he was unarmed during the time that the incident that they are accused him of being involved in, he was unarmed at that time. And the question, the pertinent cross-examination question, of course, how do you get an armed robbery charge when you are unarmed? And you could say only in Pitt County, North Carolina, or we could all say in unison, only in America. And we have watched now how Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad has been a political, or we call a social political prisoner in America since Juneteenth. That was the day of our revealing that the Emancipation Proclamation had been actually signed. But only recently, most of America now is beginning to observe this Juneteenth observance. But on that strength, beloved brother and sister, the Honorable Stephen Biko Farrakhan Muhammad should have been free, as you watch, 45, in the person of Donald Duck Trump, free Roger the Dodger, the white-haired racist, was guilty, admitted to be guilty. The Army, a chief constituent, Mike was a cold-blooded nationalist, white nationalist, racist. Bannon, another racist nationalist. His attorney, Anthony, I think he's a white Zionist Jew, were all forgiven, freed and pardoned, signed, sealed, and delivered by 45, or you call Donald the Duck Trump himself, freed all of them. You watch Clinton, you watch Obama's supposed friends of black people leave Mutulu Shakur, our political prisoners, the Honorable, our beloved brother, Mumia Abu-Jamal. You watched how they bypassed Barack Hussein Obama, bypassed all of the black political prisoners, seemingly purposefully did not allow them even a consideration for a pardon. Oh, don't you know, don't you know. There are certain things that have been done to us that cannot be overlooked at this hour, brother, sister. Am I here to vilify Barack Hussein Obama, William Bill Clinton, Slick Willie Clinton? Not necessarily, but I am here to talk about the facts tonight, that we are in a corporation business by convenience, government where it is necessary and keeps the ball moving. And some horrible things have been done to us. Some horrible things continue to be done to us at this hour. As we go get Brother Deed up in New York City, he's at the 347-869. Brother Deed is 347 from Queens, New York. You're live on Black Power Radio. Black Power?
Black Power. Black Power.
Peace
to everybody. One of our ministers of information, Black Power.
Black Power, this is Karan.
Hey, Karan.
The other part of you, excuse me, that is our national field marshal, but I know that Deed is out there with him somewhere. But thank you, I did recognize the number. Brother Karan is a national field marshal of the New Black Panther Party for self-defense. And he has Brother Abdullah is up there, New York, and Rikers and other institutions. Same similar situation, just jailing you because you're Panther or because you're righteous or because you're a black activist. Because this thing has stepped up. People don't realize in the modern hour we have more social political prisoners than the 60s and 70s and 80s combined, Black Power. Black Power?
Black Power.
Black Power.
I just wanted to tap in and, go down my view when it comes to the situation we have in hand. I see that it's nobody's innocent, you know what I'm saying, for me, when it comes to this society we live in. Everybody plays their part to uphold this society that we are living in. And they do their best to keep us, the original black people of this nation, under, and they do their best. So that's why I wanted to chime in and say, we ain't got no friends, everybody against us. And if we do find people from other sides of the black experience that want to be with us, we have to accept them and not accept the fact that we think everybody is on our side. As the brother Steve Biko was saying, shout out to him and shout out to brother John Pierre, who are in the lockdown situation. They were saying that everybody that looked like us, they ain't our friends. They ain't got our best interests at heart. So we have to look at that to see that nobody's innocent. Everybody's doing their best to keep us down and keep us away from what's going down in the best parts. I'm looking around to see how much New York City itself has changed, where you see other people that are coming here, but the original black people that were here, they're the ones that's in the shelters. They're the ones that's on the streets begging mostly. They're the ones that's out of their mind when, like, zombies on a K2 binge or crack cocaine still. There's so many other things that's killing us. And I'm noticing that we put our faith in politics. And look what politics has got us. It has got us in a land where now people that speak Spanish are over, technically, you, me, and everybody that's been here before. So it's just the politics and our friends. We got to stop worrying about politics and get black to black people. The black people that have the common interest of being better for ourselves, we can stick together more, of course. But we can't worry about this politics shit. Politics shit has did us wrong. I'm looking at the results of the politics. All black people are being forced out of New York for the rent so damn high. That's what we get from politics. So we got to stay focused and build our own black Wall Street again, like Akbar was saying, and defend it. So I just wanted to say that everybody's against us and nobody's innocent. Black power.
Black power.
Black power, beloved. Yes, his brother Quran is telling us that in the streets of New York and Washington, in Los Angeles, where Dr. Desire is, in Chicago, there's a plague in the streets of America. There's not a beacon light of hope on the faces of far too many of our people. It's not what you expect, brothers and sisters. It's what you inspect. And when we inspect the conditions of our people, it's a horrible nightmare. There's some horrible things that continue to be done to us. We have to play you sometimes the dark side in order to get to the bright side. And that's just where our circumstances are. We, again, have not proposed the negotiation. And that is the problem. We have not come in collective solidarity. So that is the question tonight to our vast listening audience. Can the NBPP litigate, legislate, and get straight? Can the New Black Panther Party litigate, legislate, and get straight? That is the question we pose. What say ye, Brother Quran? Can we litigate, can we legislate, and can we get straight? Or can we get it straight, like power?
We can get it straight. We have the factors at hand right here. We have the legal. We have the information. And that's what we need to combat this whole society when it comes to our political prisoners and overall just brutality. So information we got to arm ourselves with, and the Justice Department, we can arm ourselves with the know-how to handle our own government and our own nation. So this is all the key ingredients we need that came together. As before, we have had the new Black Panther Party, and everything firing on all cylinders. We have to just hold the line and keep continuing. Just continuing to work. And everybody can't be cheap. Everybody gotta be some Native American sometimes. And that's what it is. If we all fall under the leadership of Sheikh Iman Akbar, we all, as Black revolutionaries in this new Black Panther Party, will succeed everything we have a sense on platform. And if we all play our position, everybody didn't become who they were just overnight. So it's all about people understanding their roles and being able to handle and carry out the mission. As myself, we done been through it all. I done been from the lowest on the pole to now I'm with Akbar and the chief of staff and all of this. But it wasn't just because overnight this shit happened. This shit don't come overnight. This shit take years. Everybody got to play Native American. And if we all keep playing Native American and keep doing what we're supposed to do, then everything going to work out.
I agree. I agree, tenfold. I believe.
What say ye, Dr. Desire? Can we litigate? Can we legislate? Can we get it straight in America, Black Power?
That's right. I firmly believe we can, Black Power. We need to, as I mentioned, have a plan of action and individualize our limits. Each one of us have a role to play, and we have to take time to sit at the table together to convene and bring everyone's strengths to the table. And so this is why I look for us to have some sort of convening meeting and really be consistent about it. One thing that we sometimes are afraid is of progress because we've been in the struggle for so long, and that's normal, but it's not effective. So I'm grateful to just, you know, learn as I go and even meet with the other ministers, Minister of Culture and Brother Karan and Brother Dev. There's a lot of great people that, you know, I'm meeting in the last couple of weeks, and I'm so grateful to know that each one of you, you know, have done a lot of work in your respective titles. And so now is the time, which time is of the essence, for us to get our paperwork together. As we speak, I will be sending in the final draft for the notice of discrimination. As I mentioned before, it's imperative that we really look into the incarceration system. Every state has a probation department. And once we are able to have a platform or medium where people can download this and use it, this will be the first step. Until that happens, we will always remind you every week to look into the notice of affidavit. We will explain, and actually I can briefly explain what the notice is verbatim. This one-page document states on the top, if arresting officer or if anyone's rights have been violated, you are not at liberty to violate my rights. Exactly the title. You are prohibited by law from discriminating against an individual based on age, gender, ethnicity, medical condition, or religious beliefs. 1857 Acts of the U.S. Supreme Court Justice and the Civil Rights Act of 1866 and 1964. The first line is the date of which the violation occurred, and please, you must be detailed. We must be very detailed when it comes to explaining our cases. And it could be something mundane, but whenever you're organizing, paperwork is very essential. And so we want to make it easy for everyone to be on board. But if you have difficulty, even with literacy, this is something we have to help each other with. Many of our neighborhoods, they do have young people who have difficulty reading. But because of the stigma, they don't say anything in public. So year after year, they have to glide by and not really fortify with literacy. And so this is where I want to take the time to really work with our people in every state. We can simultaneously, collectively do the same action. And so once each state has identified a lead person in that state, they will be responsible for designating this notice of affidavit of discrimination to the respective parties. And we have to do it like a domino effect. We have to do it organized. And this is where I look to you to support in that fashion. My strong suit primarily is the legal system. And so the laws is automatically something we need to know what has been governing our people. And I was just recently spoken with Brother Akbar, and the main thing that disturbed me was this Oklahoma Bill 2905 that I didn't even know was in effect or has affected many, many black individuals in Oklahoma. And this law, this bill actually was never, it was never finalized. And so looking into something like this is one of the main things that we're going to put in the forefront. How many cases or how many people have been convicted or affected by this fictitious bill? This is astronomically dangerous because information is what they don't want you to have. And when they feel that you know the very point that has kept us oppressed, of course they will try to sabotage. And they could be anybody. But this is the level where that's not going to be an issue because we have done so much in the past and it hasn't worked. And this time, we have the knowledge and the know-how to maneuver that. And for the last 7 years, in Los Angeles, is a perfect hotbed of mass discrimination. A lot of laws that was created in California trickled nationwide. And this is why the state of California is liberal, which is why a lot of people who've been sitting in power have been very comfortable because no one really challenged them. And, you know, the weather is pretty facet, so a lot of people come here for the weather, but it's very lazy. And that's the type of things we as a black people need to observe. You need to observe the enemy the way they observe us, the way they study us. And this is just a little story I want to tell. When I was going to Haiti maybe a couple of years ago, I was sitting next to this Korean gentleman, and it was about a six-hour flight from Florida. And this gentleman, you know, was watching movies. So he had time to watch maybe at least two full feature films. And the first movie that he was watching was Boys in the Hood. And I was fascinated looking at this guy, the way that he was studying our moves. Understand, Hollywood is the eye of the world. And Hollywood portrays black people in a way where a lot of nations would not know unless it's the power of television or internet. So while he's watching Boys in the Hood, he's getting an idea of how blacks are or trying to get an idea of how we are as a people. And so they use that against us when they come and they set up shop here. And the second movie he watched was New Jack City. So I can tell you this is something that really stuck out because I was like, I see how they're strategically studying us through these movies. That's why Hollywood cannot greenlight any film unless they have to go through China. Understand the power of the Asian community in the entertainment business. They own everything. And so this instance, watching this Korean guy studying our mannerisms, really set in my mind how they are doing this 24 hours, 7 days a week behind closed doors. And so, black family, we must do the same. We must convene and set a time, like this Saturday at 5 p.m., which would 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. We want to convene with the people who are really serious in moving on and our main ministers who have been on board for us to get the history of what was there and how we can move on with members who want to move forward. But those who really want to move forward, it'll show. And we must be easy if we are not fully knowledgeable in
the department that we are in or in any subject, we have to fall back when it comes to our opinions, Black family, because that'll be easier for us to finish the foundation that we, in the next 7 months, will be solid. So I thank you again, Brother Karan, and many of the other ministers that have been holding the fort. And we look forward to another dimension that will take us as Black people in 2022. Black power.
Black power. And all of our brothers and sisters have been just so supportive of Black Power Radio over the years and years and years of radio. And we are, again, thank you for supporting us. If you want to continue to support and donate here at Black Power Radio, it is at $77Bakers for all of those numerically or who happen to be alpha numerically pure at heart. They can donate at $77Bakers, which is, again, on Cash App. And we're here open for advertising. We're open here at Black Power Radio for your thoughts and idealism, for new shows. This thing is universal. We only pick up Sunday and Monday of Black Power Radio. You've got 7 other days you can do shows, brother and sister. You can sponsor a live radio show on numerous of topics. We're not just here, the only syndicated hour, the only women in Black Power that can do Black Power Radio. You can likely do radio. Many brothers and sisters have voices. They have the spirit for radio, and they don't use it. But many organizations could utilize the extra time on Black Power Radio from Tuesday to Saturday. They could sponsor shows. So it's just an open opportunity for you, brother and sister, if you decide to take advantage. Again, one of the pertinent cross-examination questions tonight, how do we behave in the face of an opportunity? I want to go to 828-828 at 676. You're actually live right now on Black Power Radio. Black Power? Black Power, 828-828. Go right ahead, 828.
Black Power.
Black Power, welcome.
Black Power.
Happy to have you tonight. Where are you calling from, caller?
I'm calling from Asheville, North Carolina.
Yes, sir. Well, talk Black to us and give us some updates, some idealism, and one of the cross-examination questions tonight. Can we, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and other Black people, can we litigate, can we legislate, and can we get it straight? So go ahead and talk Black. And what's your name, caller?
This is Brother Farouk.
Brother Farouk, you can talk Black to us. I bet you a long time, you've been a guest on the show, haven't you?
Yeah, quite a few
okay.
times.
No, Brother Farouk is our national minister of defense. That's another Farouk. I'm talking about Farouk down in Atlanta. In Hancock, Georgia, he runs a whole so Farouks are doing good on this air because they run a whole community. Hancock, Georgia is a Black community that has just decided to leave this cracker the hell alone, just get on away from him altogether. Hancock, Georgia is run by one Farouk, but this is Brother Farouk, our Minister of Defense. Welcome to Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and Black Power.
Okay. Black Power.
Black Power, welcome.
I was actually just listening in. I'm trying to just get the kids into bed and everything. But, yeah, I definitely think we can get it right. I said we definitely got to separate and do our own thing. We also need to start getting together and putting more things together for the communities. And I'm dealing with my family right now also, so I'm kind of moving around.
All right, family man.
I caught Farouk a little bit
on the back. Yeah, you did. Come on.
Under the radar. I knew I got it.
Yeah, you got me. You got me.
But, man, we're Brother Farouk is the man of North Carolina, and
And a lot of this attention, Brother Farouk, is being given to North Carolina because of we just have to bring it right out to the forefront. The president that caused all the Jim Crow is from North Carolina. His name was President Andrew Johnson. It's where all, but that's why we keep going black to North Carolina and black to North Carolina, and we will continue to go black to North Carolina until we get either we can litigate, legislate, and get it straight. Black power.
That's right. Yeah,
black power.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's right. What say ye, Brother Farouk? Do you think that if we could raise the coffin of old Whitney Tooth Andrew Johnson, this guy has been suppressed, Brother Farouk. Nobody knows. When you say Andrew Johnson, 9 times out of 10, I'm talking about some of our best educators have told me right on the spot. I said Andrew Johnson, and they said, you mean Andrew Jackson? I said, no, sir. I said, Andrew Johnson. They know very little bit or very little about Andrew Johnson. They know very little about Andrew Johnson. This guy was the top. He is the one. He is the I'll give you this, just a hint, that Donald the Duck Trump, the one we traditionally call 45, 45 is the living, I'm saying the living, the total personification, the total, the living total, social, political, and economic reincarnation of Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson hated black people. He vetoed nearly the entire Emancipation Proclamation. He is the nightmare hiding behind the doors of every black movement, got an Andrew Johnson hidden in the closet or hidden down the street or in their business.
Oh, yeah.
And they undermine. Is that right, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. I agree 100%.
Yes, sir. Andrew Johnson, he's right there from Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. He eased his way over to Tennessee and became the governor. Think about this. Another wooden tooth president, Abraham Lincoln, put Andrew Johnson on as the vice president because he wanted to get the votes out of the South. Wouldn't do Abraham Lincoln. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was listening.
Okay. I thought that Brother Farouk was trying to say something.
No, I was listening also.
Okay, well, I hope I got everybody's undivided attention now. But straight up, brother and sister, Andrew Johnson is the nightmare. He is the devil hiding in the details. It's Andrew Johnson, no question. This guy, do you realize his name was Sir Vito? They nicknamed him Sir Vito because he vetoed everything that would aid and assist black people. And he left a legacy in place. He was forgiven, just like Donald Trump running around here forgiving these white nationalists. He had forgiven all of those white plantation owners who were guilty of hate crimes, guilty of reckless behavior to black people. He's forgiven all of those and put them back in power. Black people's land, but he started that the snowball effect. Yeah, we were going the Sisyphus principle, that you roll the ball all day, but you never get up to it. You roll it up, roll it back down. Roll it up, roll it back down. He put black people on a never ending. You go home and research what Sisyphus and who Sisyphus was, and you'll see that black people are the manifestation of Sisyphus, and Donald the Duck Trump is the manifestation of Andrew Johnson. They called him Sir Vito. He moved to block everything and anything that was going to give even the least bit of aid to black people. You have to wake up on that note, brother. And just Google while you're sitting home. Somebody Google me, Andrew Johnson. And call, you can tell me anything about Andrew Johnson tonight in the way of, can the new Black Panther Party, can black people litigate, can we legislate, and can we get it straight? Is that black power for you?
Black power. You know, looking at Andrew Johnson,
okay.
he's from North Carolina originally, and a lot of people don't know that there were 11 states that I believe didn't even recognize Abraham Lincoln at the time when he was supposed to be doing the Emancipation Proclamation. But Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Mississippi, Tennessee, Texas, and Louisiana were the 11 states that absolutely wanted to keep slavery in tow, to the fact that they actually denounced anyone who was remotely an abolitionist in their eyes. So it was very scary for him to be the 17th president and to have such vitriol. It's a telltale sign of what that tradition is now. And Biden is no different. The president itself does not, at this point, has no bearing for the black community, which is why I want to encourage us to disconnect altogether. Right now in Los Angeles, the hot topic is the mayor election, Karen Bass for mayor. And so she is a national figure. But I can just see right now the hardcore campaign that a lot of these blackface are going to do, urging you to vote, urging everyone to vote. And yet she's the same one that watched our Haitian students that were deported on Saturday, 9 of them. And these were kids that's working on the Haitian Constitution. They were just tired, not being heard. And so coming here and then being deported back, this is under the watch of all these current politicians. That's why the movement of even encouraging black people to vote is a disservice to us, which is why we need to have a counteraction for what's there. And the only way we can do it is little by little doing forums so that we can break down the law, and it has to be reciprocal. So for us to litigate and do it properly, we can absolutely do it. We are the best lawyers. We can police ourselves. We created everything. So us knowing the laws and how to advocate is a threat. And when we stand in something called pro per or pro persona, that means you're litigating on your own without an attorney. A lot of us can do that, but we just haven't, everyone's individual. I can't say everyone in the whole boat, but the majority of us, that if we did know the law, just the basic law for the cases we have, we would go a lot further and recognize when they're trying to railroad you, when they're using terminology that's not even in the original Constitution. Remember that these courthouses must pledge allegiance to the Constitution. They must reflect what the Constitution writes. But each state is a corporation. So it's not even a real country if you want to get down to it. But what is presented to us is very easily to decipher if you take that time to really focus on an hour a day on what is my basic law or city countenance. Once you do that, because no one can do it for you, black family, no one can actually take our hand and lead us anywhere. But the very few of us that have this information, and I trust and believe, I've been in the lion's den, and I will explain to you my current case that's coming up, which is a huge civil rights case on November 8th. Stanley Moss Courthouse, because they deemed me vexatious litigant, what that is like a gag order that prevents you from filing any case without the permission. They literally want me to ask them permission to a British bald-head white judge, Caucasian judge, can I, sir, file this lawsuit? That's what they expect me to do. And the way that someone gets charged as vexatious, the way that someone gets charged, you have to know what that term is. And I learned that it's not even American law. So there's a lot that they're going to receive back there. But at this point, we have to hold them accountable. So currently in Los Angeles with this case, it reflects all other cases. If you know the names of the attorneys, you have to, when you walk in these courtrooms, if you ever have an upcoming hearing, You always have to be vigilant and watch who's in that courtroom. Watch who's the judge. Watch who's the bailiff, the clerks. Pay especially close attention to the clerks. The clerks are a very important part of the court system, but they don't even require them to have a law degree. A lot of us don't know that. The current courthouse that's in your town, the clerks are not required to have a law degree. And this is frightening. How can you have a courthouse with employees that don't know the law when the court is based on law? So that tells you right there, Black family, their system is broken. And we can easily decipher it if we take the time every day to encourage each other to read legislation. And we'll do it together. But we do need for you to make that initial step to download the form, become a member, and really be engaging, especially when we have Sundays and Mondays available to you so you can ask any legal question, just any question in particular. But it requires us to be engaged. So I hope I've said enough, but again, let's start with the first step with these notice of affidavit and just know your local jurisdiction to begin with. Black Power.
Black Power. If you noticed from Dr. Desire and Brother Farouk, that these circumstances are, again, living up to what I wrote about this week, a capitalistic communism. I hope we can get that terminology into the people, meaning they're capitalist by convenience, socialist by convenience, they're parliament by convenience. I mean, it's just... It's just crazy as hell, brother and sister. What we call government, it's a commonwealth when necessary. It's just anything that will fit the slate of white male globalization and that the white power structure remains in place, they're willing to call it law. They're willing to call it justice. They're willing to call it due process. And there's been no process. The Scottsdale boys, people who just remain in jail in inordinate period of time. Homeland, right now, Homeland is holding our babies throughout Dothan, Alabama, all through the state of Alabama, anywhere from, I tell you, from your house, Dr. Desire, all the way to James Muhammad lives in Jacksonville, Florida. I-10 goes straight from Los Angeles, straight across America to Jacksonville, Florida. And along that railway is nothing but a nightmare. I-10. You see your ones and zeros, the odd numbers are running north and south. Your even numbers are running east and west. And number 10 happens to be an even number. So from the east coast to the west coast, it's nothing but a nightmare, brother and sister. Nothing but a nightmare, Dr. Desire. That... In these towns, they have put weapons in the cars of our black people. These facts are brought out at the trial, and they lock them up anyway. They entrap us and set us up. They do the massive cover-up on the killing of black men, women, and children, from Trayvon to Stephon, from Emmett Till to No Deal, from Eric Garner to Michael Brown, on up to date to to Jelani and all of these things that have been done to us, brother and sister. We can't allow these bastards off the hook for this stuff. We have to turn it back around, hold them accountable, as Brother Hollis right there. He can take it. Let me update you. Let me upgrade you. Come on and talk black to us, Brother Hollis. You in New Orleans, Brother Hollis?
Yes, sir. I'm in New Orleans, yes.
Well, Black Power, welcome to Black Power Radio. You're talking to Dr. Desire. Thank you, ma'am. I got my legal hat on tonight. I'm out slaying the dragon, brother. Got my spiritual hat on.
Yes.
And the question tonight, Brother Harold, is can the new Black Panther Party, can black people in general, can we litigate, can we legislate, and can we get it straight? And that's the question I offer you tonight. America as a corporation, posing as a national government.
Well,
Power?
Well, Yes, I believe we can legislate, but you have to have the people. For that to happen, you have to have the people to have the heart of the people. You're concerned about black, the welfare of black people. You can't get none of these ones that sell out and all of that. You got to have those who down for the people. That's the only thing. That's the only way this gonna work. And what Brother right. Malcolm was saying, that black nationalism is through controlling the politics of your communities.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That right that goes right in the 9 local objectives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I'm like this. If you don't vote, you have some of these races. How a lot of white people got old. I mean, how they really getting us? They getting us through the ballots and stuff like that. They
right.
come up with these laws to oppress us. And see, by us not going out there voting and all of that, we're not studying, reading, and, you know, this is the results that you have, you know?
Mm-hmm.
No police misconduct, you know? We should know who on the police force. You know? Like police misconduct, you know, when stuff like that happens, if it's enough of us, you know, get them out of position. But when you don't follow up on these things, that this is what happens.
But I believe for our vote, if we're going to be encouraging voting at any capacity, which, you know, does not help us as a whole, that we need
yeah.
to demand something before they get in office. Understand that these political seats are bought and paid for. But if we're just willy-nilly and just say, hey, you know, Congressional Black Caucus, you know, let's support because they talk a good talk beforehand, but they don't put anything on paper. There is absolutely
mm-hmm.
There's absolutely no reason why we as a people still have to discuss reparations. They just had a reparations meeting a few days ago here for the commission, and the state of California elected 9 people just to sit down and discuss the need for reparations. And we don't need to discuss it. It's apparent. But the politicians that are placed, I believe, right now is delaying progress to the people, which is why I don't want us to waste any more time with them if we know the end result.
I'm going to say this. As you brought up the Black Caucus, correct me if I'm wrong, when Dr. Carly got shot, before he got shot, when he made that speech at King College, I think they was against him, if I'm not mistaken, the Black Caucus.
The Black Congressional Caucus, this was in 1980. Let me look up the details of this.
Yeah,
in general, they had 1981. Well, they came in inception in 77, primarily on the wake of Nixon. And they have a whole entire speech, about 2 pages long, on what their formation was to be about. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull it up for you. And if Imam Sheikh Abbas, it's about time to
yes,
I would like to read the opening statement of the Congressional Black Caucus. Here.
Let it hear.
Okay. So let me pull up the original document because it has been amended. Let's see, give me 1 second here. And the merits of what they stand for now, it should have been upheld. But the point is, they didn't do any of the things, the 64 points that they made. They didn't accomplish half of it. Right? I'll give you one article of human rights. Here we go. So here we are. This is their opening title. And this is about 2 pages long. We are present here on the first of a series of constructive proposals for the immediate relief of our communities, especially occupied by persons of African descent born on American soil. Now, this clause was actually removed. The original clause specifically that it was intended for black empowerment, and that was removed over time. It continues on. It says, "Dear friend, it is out of a deep conviction that large number of citizens are being subjected to intense hardship, are denied their basic rights, and are suffering irreparable harm as a result of current policies towards persons of African descent born on American soil. As you may know, our local city, county, state, Congress, and Senate governance were elected by substantial majorities. They were given clear and unmistakable mandates to articulate the problems of our community and work on prompt and effective solutions towards them. Yet they did not do so. Most of the districts that the House and the Senate represent that are predominantly black has left their communities restricted from aid of any kind from Washington, D.C. The suburbanites, as well as the residents of the central cities, poor, middle income, and even some well-to-do Americans have been denied equal opportunities at the contracting table simply because of the color of one's skin. But our concerns and obligations as descendants born on American soil do not stop the boundaries of our district. Our concerns are national and international in scope. Congressional members are petitioned daily by U.S. living hundreds of miles from our district, who requested it in writing to distribute our taxes into identified essential businesses such as market, employment centers, crisis centers, and educational facilities for the areas which there is a high population of descendants of black people. The racist policies of public and private U.S. institutions ensure that descendants from Africa born on American soil suffer much more than others, whether in good times or in bad. In our view, the quest for economic stability cannot be separated from the basic need for a redistribution of wealth and income so that there is no longer destitution amid opulence for descendants of African born on American soil. Nor can we easily repair the damage done to our children by inferior schools, hunger, and ill health. That view is that the representatives who created the first constitution in 1787, word and deed, had at critical points retreated from the national commitment to make the descendants from African born on American soil equal in the eyes of their government, to make equal the poor as well as the rich, the urban, rural dwellers as well as those living in the suburbs. Our people are no longer asking for equality as a rhetorical promise. Instead, the descendants born on American soil are requesting from a national administration and from elected officials without regard to party affiliation the kind of equality that ultimately has any real meaning, equality of prosperity. If we are in fact to be equal in this country, then Washington, D.C. must help us achieve these results, the eradication of racism within the United States and its dealings with other nations, the earning and decent living in dignity, fair and impartial justice, and adequate protection against drug abuse, crime, enforcement of civil rights, and other constitutional guarantees through vigorous affirmation actions by the descendants of Africa born on American soil." And it finishes up, "When repeated aid avoids distribution for individuals of African descent, we cannot in good conscience remain under the current Constitution. We request the Universal Declaration of Human Rights be made into law for people of African descent born on American soil." And it has been rewritten, and this was signed by 43 members, in 1977. And when I look at the original members, some of them are still with us today. So this had a lot of important, it hit the point of exactly what the black community needed, but it was never implemented. Again, we had lobbyists. Lobbyists were the ones, and corporations were the ones, that dictated how these politicians ran your area. So no matter how much you voted, if that didn't back up the corporation money, 9 times out of 10, the politicians are not working for you. They'll be working for corporate interests. And that is why particularly one of the amendments that we need to put on the table, and there are about 12 or 13 amendments that particularly I want us as a party to implement. And one of them is the removal of lobbyists who can pitch to these politicians. They just need to be cut out altogether, because developers and lobbyists dismisses the common person's vote. So when they keep pushing voting rights, they're not telling you that the lobbyists will ultimately win, because money runs this country. And that was the purpose of the Congressional Black Caucus formation at the time, but it didn't implement. So with that being said, you can't get any higher representation than the Congressional Black Caucus. All of the black members who are literally the voice of the people, that's what the House of Representatives do. And the Senate, what their job is, to pass the laws, create the laws. So both of them together does not have black people's interests at heart, which is why I personally want us to disconnect from this voting altogether and just build, focus our energy in rebuilding our own government. We can elect people with the same government structure, meaning you can hire people that emulate the current U.S. Government structure. And it has 17 positions, such as how it's formed right now with the New Black Panther Party. You have certain ministers that emulate the United States government. So it's the plan's already here. I mean, the structure's already here. We just have to, as you say, as we go along, to have people engaged and actually in these positions executing these actions. Right?
Yes, ma'am. Like Paul.
If you would frame it, even if you extend it back a bit from Frederick Douglass to Adam Clayton Powell, some of the major players, and roll from Adam Clayton Powell forward, modern caucus, and roll around with Shirley Chisholm and Barbara Jordan. If you use, we had a legislator here, strong advocate, but almost ineffective in the matter of getting any real legislation in or getting any type of real litigation of substance. Change a bill in the favor of black people, and literally the same Voters' Rights Act that we voted for in the 60s, and like you said, from LBJ to today, there's been very little effectiveness from the Congressional Black Caucus, even though you saw James Clyburn deliver all the black votes that he could muster, and you saw Barack Hussein Obama chime in with all the all those, with the chairs, the hanging chairs, all the hanging chairs folks, and got Biden in. Biden's gift for the Holy Ghost is to give you a drill sergeant in the Army for black people. We've been here all of these years under this tyrant for to get a sergeant in the Army. In other words, the Secretary of the Army was the gift from Biden for black people. The Supreme Court Justice for life. Think about this. Supreme Court Justice for life was a gift of George, what they call him, Senior Bush, gave you Clarence, the Minister to Society, Clarence Thomas, especially Minister to Black Society. He's a good listener. He listens to the issues so he can articulate the facts.
but he never comes out with the articulation of the facts. So these are the things that there's no difference in Biden signing, giving you a secretary in the Army, and George W. or his daddy giving you Clarence Thomas. This thing has been done to us, some terrible things being done to us legislatively or judicially, or they say legally being done. They're just to urinate or just piss in your face, and they call it rain. Mm-hmm. That's what you what we've been explaining. And the Congressional Black Caucus have stood by me, and they're so nullified. They're so afraid of their shadows to even write a piece, a decent piece. Maybe if they just would just write a piece just to prove they could write it, they'd be surprised the yards they could gain downfield if they would just write it up. I don't even see them writing it up.
Right.
And I'm in Washington, D.C. every day. I'm not an exaggeration. I'm not a figment of anyone's imagination. I'm ready to whip these Congressional Black Caucus up. It's just in the big party. They're going to have a big Congressional Black Caucus party every year right here in September. And it got so bad, I kind of just stopped going to it. I guess the last decent one that kind of dragged through was probably John Lewis. Now, people don't know about the dashiki wearing John Lewis, the one that never missed a Black Power event or a Panther event in Atlanta, that type of John Lewis. They didn't know. They just know good trouble. They want a sideshow. They want a gimmick, a good trouble gimmick. That's what they want. They don't want the man that was seriously focused and trying to change the conditions for Black people. He was getting beat down by these crackers, verbally, physically, in every manner, morally, his basic manhood torn apart and torn down by a vicious white opposition to John Lewis from Alabama to Georgia, all to every state he could go in. But he never gave up the fight with the water hose poured on him, with the nightstick beating him down, with the dogs biting him in his hind parts from his backside. He dragged on all the way to the end. And he's the only one that stood up on wooden tooth Donald Trump and said he should be impeached. He said, this guy is illegit. If he's illegit, he must quit. We should impeach him now. And when John Lewis made his speech, that brought a million mostly Black women came to the day Trump went in. And that is with old wooden tooth Whoopi Goldberg said, if Donald the Duck Trump got in, that she would leave America. These people just give you full of cliche, full of empty ritual type talk for us. An alienable right. What an alienable right are they going to protect for you? Thou shalt not kill. Who's going to stand and protect the right to thou shalt not kill for Black people if we don't stand up and enforce it for ourselves? Oh, my, I don't want to get started tonight. I'm going to just pass the mic. I'm not even get started tonight. I'm going to keep the time.
Well, on that note, the top seven people that work for the Black Congressional Caucus is the chair, which is Representative Joyce Beatty. And then you have the first vice chair, which is Representative Stephen Horsford, and he's, I believe, a Democrat from Nevada. And then you have the second vice chair, which is Brenda Lawrence. She's a Democrat from Michigan, I think District 14. And then you have Hank Johnson. And Representative Sheila Jackson Lee has been pretty vocal about reparations. She's a parliamentarian, Democrat, Texas That's representative.
She steers the state right there with Congress representative. I think it's Al Green of the South Houston and Harris County area, Missouri City rep. He's a Congressional Black Caucus. He stood on the floor and asked for the impeachment of Trump long before that. And old Nancy Wooden-Tooth Nancy Pelosi stood against the guy. It's just a mess. It's a mess. If you start with Adam Clayton Powell, then you got them. They got away from him. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Say something, Harold, you were trying to say something.
Yeah, I was saying, what about Barbara Lee? Matter of fact, Barbara Lee was in the party.
She's done a few things. I think she has a track record of doing a few things. I can't just quote it now that you mentioned her name, but I know she's a Cali rep, right? And she's done a few things.
Oakland.
Peter Jackson Lee, Barbara Lee, and she
was in a party. And she was in a Black Panther party, too.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, she definitely... I believe she made a case for reparations about a year ago, and this is why we wondering why we're still discussing it. This reparations committee that was formed, it was elected nationally. So the state of California was elected to lead the reparations committee, and they did it with people who have been in the office for years. And so they, with their power, and this is why I never became a politician, because what you have to do, you have to go against, you have to go with the grain. And because I know that here, District 8 is a local town, and then we have the county, District 2, which currently is held by Holly Mitchell. She used to be the senator. Currently, she's a supervisor for L.A. County. And between these two seats is what rules the area that I live in. But they don't even want to have a neighborhood council for our local town, which is what we're actually doing organically. So in the next 2 months, doing a census, we're going to go door-to-door. As I believe Brother Karan mentioned that. We got to go door-to-door and really organically get our people who are our people. Not your random neighbor, selective people, but you have to know who's in your own neighborhood. And that's where I want us to begin the conversation. And the way that we can create an official government group is something called an Article 5. And I believe I mentioned that last week. The Article 5 in the actual Constitution states that there are two ways that we can actually make laws. And that's the old way, which is going through our local politicians as we are doing right now, and we're seeing that there's no progress with that. So if we can go around it, you know, by really pushing our Article 5, and like I said, this Saturday, I really would like to have an initial meeting with those interested parties moving forward. And for us to have that Zoom meeting if possible. And for us to be on Zoom. Zoom is not... a hard project, but we must have on our phone the capability for us to have a meeting on the fly if we need to. And so that's where we have a tech person to do that.
Yes, and on that strength, I guess it's just to kill a little fire under this piece. With HR 40 was Kendall mostly by John Conyers, of course, and you had your Illinois and Michigan representatives and others that were in there that would stir up a little something. Our Baltimore representative, I'm trying to call all their names, Quice and Fume, and we had another one that passed away that was a Baltimore representative. There were a few fireballs in there. I'm not saying they all did, because Caucus 10 was pretty something to hear, but I'm just saying to you, that when John Conyers had it was like a sexual allegation. This is when Trump was in office. And, man, when Conyers couldn't even defend himself, he couldn't even get to the mic to defend himself. Posey got to the mic, she grabbed that mic, and booted him the hell out of the Congress like he was a stepchild. This man, a life veteran, he had more experience in one thumbnail than Nancy Pelosi had in the whole body. Booted him out like a stepchild, like he is. She did judge, jury, executioner right on the spot and booted him the hell out of
him.
Wow. And turned right around and said something to people on stuff. He said, no, I don't think that's politically correct for right now. But was with with full aggression, booted John Tucker because he represented that reparation. And these people that were forthcoming, that could speak forthright for our issues, they would bat them down. They would vote them out.
Bobby Rush, another pastor there. Bobby Rush in Chicago. Until he started talking crazy with the COVID, he was doing fairly, you know, fairly well. So we don't know what's being done to these folks. But they're not, they're inadequate to serve the purpose of the modern day situation. I mean, James, you gonna stack up all the votes and give them, then you don't put any ultimatum on the vote. You don't have any negotiation skills that are visible or identifiable. It's just a crazy kind of talk. I'm telling you, I know these folks personally. I go to their stuff, their bashes, their parties, their stuff. It's just interested in a bit of wine and cheese. That's what all their interest is, getting into wine and cheese. And when it gets down to any hardcore negotiation, any hardcore legislation, write up some bills, some legislation, some addendums, and some amendments, and I mean, just not producers. They're not. I see them in this. But to me, when you say Congressional Black, it almost really literally means something dead. As far as you want to come alive in politics, it means something dead for real. And I'm not saying that to condemn. I'm just saying what I bear witness to. Not what anybody told me on the email and what I read on the internet, what somebody put in my Facebook friends. I'm saying what I witnessed over a tenure of presidents from Truman to 46 years. And 46 is not worth to us. Two dead flies. When he first got in, black vote. And then he got ready, then first thing he did, said, well, we got 600 Hispanics. They ain't got no mom and dad in there. We'll go see about the Hispanics. Next thing he got on, some LGBTs. Next thing he jumped on, he said, well, I'm going to give you a Secretary of the Army, black brother. I'm going to high-five my black brother and keep it moving. He don't give a damn about no black people around here. People, please don't get it twisted because somebody say the word Democrat, or even if they say the word Republican or independent. Run out Bernie Sanders, all kind of Negroes, cheese and greasy, that cracker. I'm telling you straight up. That's why I made my rhyme. I know people don't like to hear it. I go 2, 4, 6, 8. Now, who in the fuck do we really hate? We hate Democrats, independents, Republicans, the DA, judge, the holy, the police, and the whole goddamn bunch. It should boot them all out of our beds and put self-government as Sister and Dr. Miller desires telling you. Black power.
Black power. So hopeful. Oh.
Black power.
Black power. Somebody was about to speak?
No, I wouldn't say. I'm just listening.
Okay.
Let me give you the piece. Give you a little something right there. Because he's from New Orleans.
Okay.
I didn't want to lose the fact. When that governor from New Orleans, the governor from Louisiana, stood up on this COVID-19 stuff, he got old guy, Wooden Tooth Bird and Trump and Fauci had press conference every single day on the COVID, every day about anywhere between 1 and 5 p.m. every day. They ran some kind of press conference. And then on a certain day, your governor of Louisiana surfaced and said the word African-American. He said that at about 9 a.m. from Louisiana, D.C.
Yeah.
Then that afternoon, when Trump did his conference with Fauci and old Dr. Byrne, whoever the hell she is, most illiterate people.
Yeah, she disappeared.
My. I'm just here to tell you. He came out when Donald Trump said African American. Every black medical professional, from the doctors to the nurses to the nurse practitioner to the rhino to the phlebotomist to the ambulance driver, everybody chimed in and put that COVID right at the doorstep of black people. It was always a black phenomenon after they got the ball rolling. It was a Eurasian thing going on with the white man, the Chinaman, and the COVID. Then all of a sudden, it got to be a black thing, and they have not let us go. The 10,000 bags was not enough, and 50,000 not too many. And they talk in record time, which tells me and you
that we are the target of their exploits and we are the target of their COVID-19. Stay the hell away from them. Go independent, brother and sister. Your own self-government, your own communities. Black power.
Black power. And we definitely need to grow our own foods. The health disparities is what made it worse for the black population amid COVID. A lot of the respiratory conditions attributed to deaths that were unnecessary. So when they're trying to suppress you with holistic foods that you're trying to at least put online and they want to say it's misinformation and take you down, that's where, you know, it lies. We have to even take sea moss gel, blackbirds, and eat greens, kale, spinach. Those are the things that we have to do daily consumption. And that's why vertical gardening is a big, big thing. That's one of the things we're trying to do here in Los Angeles is to be self-sustainable. And one of the main things is vertical gardening. So if we have a lot, this is where I say the community members who are on your side are the ones that we need to start with this process. And your local jurisdiction that won't have anything to say about it if you as a community collectively do this. A lot of times with housing, abandoned houses, there was a perfect example with at least four women from San Diego that just, you know, started squatting in a house. And, of course, it made national news that they were getting evicted, but eventually they won. And not only that, inspired, but the housing crisis for black families. Sometimes you just got to insert yourself in. You've got to be bold. And every other race does it. We cannot be afraid, and we have to be more interested in our surroundings. So it's so important that we must activate the first initial steps and really identifying your area. If you haven't already, take a walk around your block, at least 2 square miles surrounding from where your house is located. Make sure you do a census. Take the time to document what lot is empty, what house is abandoned. Make note of it, because what we are going to do collectively is that once we have established a quorum, that we will take these housings through the mechanisms that they have been trying to do. For example, here in California, the major housing crisis that's affecting blacks is a group called CEQA, C-E-Q-A, CEQA. Now, this group pertains specifically to California, and they came in inception in the early 80s, and they're just a group of white homeowners that didn't want developers, like a modern-day redlining, didn't want certain people in their neighborhoods, so housing projects would collectively stop. CEQA is a nameless and faceless group, and it was initially implemented for earthquake prevention. That means it was trying to preserve nature. That's where it first came about, was to protect the natural environment. But that was abused and taken by the elitists, and every time a housing project would come, a lot of people don't know, you can actually sign your name as CEQA and turn it into your local council wherever that development is happening, and automatically they would have to stop the development. They don't have to ask who signed it, as long as it says CEQA, and they're all in it together. And next thing you know, the very great projects, and especially a lot of black contractors, eventually have to let the project go because of all this red tape. This is literally how I discovered this, going through equity, trying to fill out for applications here. So I'm not saying anything that I'm not currently going through. We can decipher and take apart the red tape that they so-called say, you can't do this, you can't do that. Especially with banks, when they want to turn you down for loans, which is have been going on for at least 60 years. Black families have always been
disproportionately for funding. But if you know the rules of what they must, their mandates that they have, the banks have, in order to give you a loan or to order for them to accept your application, if they don't do that, you record it and you submit it to your state complaint form. And that's like every state has an ombudsman when it comes to discrimination of any kind. But if you don't have a black governor, 9 times out of 10, these complaints, disappear. So there's a chain reaction that causes your neighborhood to look the way it does. And if we don't ask the questions of who is running the show, that's how they get over on us. And we end up in these high-density hoods that are managed, and it becomes degrading for our children. So the next few months, I want to empower you to really know about the basic laws in your area, and on your own time, really just take a census of your block and just take notice of a specific piece of land or property that you think would be either great for housing or great for a youth center. Youth centers are always needed anywhere, but start off small, and you can literally be your own contractor. Because what these cats been doing for years and how they build housing, they're not any smarter than us. A matter of fact, they look to us to give them ideas and make sure that they take the plans and erase your name. This is literally a few cases that I've been advocating for. They will take developers who are black, take their ideas, and make sure that they get no credit for it. And that's one of the major structures that's here in Los Angeles is the Staples Center. The Staples Center was drafted by a black woman. Her name was Pauline Clay. And what they did to this woman is so heart-wrenching. She's in her 70s now, late 70s. But at the time that the Staples Center was being built, she had drafted the blueprints for it and went to City Hall, and I believe this is probably early 80s. And then when they developed it, you had these foreign cats that came in. They cut her out of the development, and they actually had her arrested. She was in jail for a year, almost 18 months, a year and a half. And she was just released 3 months ago. And boy, when I tell you, she's going to be an upcoming guest. She has a story to tell, because the things that I'm saying now concerning the housing disparity is what she literally did years ago. And the fact that she was in jail for a year and a half is a perfect example of how they can use the 13th Amendment and abuse the very amendment to protect us to enslave us. So take heed.
You know, beloved, I mean, construction is one of my fields, but something you said, you're saying she was jailed for being architect or the charges, and when was she released? I mean, you might have to say that one more time for the alphanumerically pure at heart.
Sure, she was. Not too long ago, at the beginning of this year, about 3-4 months ago, she was recently released. And actually, I re-encountered with her through a local talk show. She had called in. And I didn't know who she was until I met, and she was telling me all of the common denominators of the key players that I currently am battling. And one of them is, Kamala Harris. She has a big part to play because Kamala did a lot of damage as Attorney General for the state of California. She locked a lot of my family members up, black brothers, black
families.
But you think
she was actually the architect? She drew the architectural drawings for the Staples Center, right? Is that
That's correct. Yeah, she lives downtown, and she actually lived there for over 40 years. So she, her family members, which I'm not going to disclose too much yet until we're ready to interview her, but she's connected to Cassius Clay, also Muhammad Ali. But there is a lot of finances that her mother had left, which is why they're going after her, because she's now by herself. She has a grandchildren, which they have tortured them. The grandchildren are in their 30s. And she's just been through a lot. But right now it's people like that in her story that we need to bring in the forefront. in order for people to know that there's a way around it, because she also is labeled as vexatious litigant, but she was literally in Supreme Court cases, beating a lot of corporate lawyers. She actually advocated for other cases on her own time, and never went to law school. And the court system found this woman so powerful that they ordered her not to take any more cases, even though she was not a lawyer. And that's where I say, when you know the law even a little bit, you are the most dangerous person that the courts will encounter. So in order to shut her up, they eventually
accentuate that if you know a little bit about the law, and especially when you're one-on-one with these little Boosie call them the holies, some call them police, but you may be the brightest clown in the box. So if you know a little bit about the Constitution, a little bit about the law that may be affecting the situation that's being confronted, these officers are actually crash dummies. I mean, they're not smart enough to discipline themselves enough. They know they have a mental health patient. The mental health patient, knowing that it is a mental health patient. 40% of those killings, Trayvon to Stephon, they're mental health patients. They disobeyed a direct order. They lounged forward. Of course he lounged forward. He's a mental health patient. Of course he disobeyed the direct order. He's authority defiant. And instead of them now, stop, look, and listen, and getting a nurse, a health professional, someone trained in mental health, such as a therapist or a doctor or someone that can aid and assist the patient with their problem, they give 3 or 4 orders and fire almost simultaneously with the last order from their mouth. I've seen these cases. And Dr. Africa that was executed in California, that's one example right there with you. Africa was executed right there. Disobeyed and lounged forward. He's dead.
Yep, kid wrong.
With no regard for human life whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, another day and another show, but Black Power.
Yes, and I'm so glad you touched on that, Brother Akbar, because right now what's happening in the police force here, you have a lot of officers with foreign accents, and I never saw something so frightening. A basic case, just the other day, a gentleman got shot in the head. Good thing the bullet did not enter. It just grazed the side of his head. But the L.A. sheriff arrived on the scene, and 3 of the officers, I believe it's probably 8 officers that came ultimately, but 3 of the officers that first arrived, they all had heavy accents. I don't know if they were Spanish. I know one of them was Venezuelan, she stated. The other one, Croatian. And I'm like, where are these foreigners coming from policing in my neighborhood? It's one thing to have sheriffs that are from Los Angeles policing your neighborhood. But when you have foreign entities that can't even speak English, and this is just happening right now, guys. So this is what I'm saying. They're doing stuff behind your backs because we are remaining uninformed. We must stay vigilant in even the littlest things. Now, when I noticed all these foreign officers, I made an immediate letter to Alex Villanueva, who is the sheriff's deputy. And right now, there's a major concern because when police state comes, I forgot what that word is called. I just had a brain fart. Sorry. When extremism comes, when they actually put you down on lockdown, you're going to have officers that are so disconnected from the American way that they're placed in the slave catcher's position, Black family. And this California, I guarantee, is not unique. Every state right now, because the governor is not melanated, they have a plan of action already for the Black people in their state. It's only a matter of time. But one thing I want you to observe is your law enforcement. Because the area that I live in is half of the town is policed by L.A. Sheriff, and half of it is policed by LAPD. The LAPD, they just had a new captain in the 77th Division. And this captain, none of the officers know in the front desk. They just had a new captain, and nobody in the front desk of that station knows their name. This is disturbing. When the police officers don't even know their captain's name, why would they care of what they do in the streets, policing you? You see? So we
Absolutely.
Cannot wait
yes.
until a tragedy happens. We have to be knowledgeable of who's policing us right now. Black Power.
Absolutely. Black Power. And as related to you, Dr. Desire, I had a personal experience with that. The Black Panther women were having a meeting late one night, and two of the sisters that were end up driving home together, they were pulled by law enforcement, and they were handled, assaulted, took their cell phones, gave them back, but they were generally roughhoused by the law enforcement. What they mm-hmm. thought were the Metropolitan Los Angeles MPD, Los Angeles Metropolitan Police Department, and they came and told a body of Black Panthers were meeting, and we went to that station with the intent of, I don't know, tearing it down, burning it down. We had a lot on our mind going to that station, and we raised all that hell with the lieutenants and captains all up and down in that station. And come find out, he said, man, well, look, man, I'm telling you honestly, these are not my officers, not my officers. He said, man, I'm looking at this insignia right here. This is a Los Angeles County sheriff. He does not come out of MPD. And that's what those sheriffs are doing, dirty works and blaming it on MPD, mm-hmm. and how they might even mm-hmm. do vice versa. But I know I have experienced them, MPD, the sheriffs putting it on MPD. So you have to, you know what I mean, know your turf wherever you are, brother and sister. It's essential to human life. And They're out to kill you, brothers. So they are not out to play a game because there's ransom money being paid by the white militias and the white nationalists, probably akin to the skinheads, no head at all. Just anything white that's not out of sight by midnight. I'm just here to tell you, they will put up their money, their goods, their first pay ransom money to kill black people, put them in the body bag. Getting our organs is the main objective. I'm just telling you straight up. They're paying millions of dollars for your life. For one body bag, I'm telling you, you would be petrified to know how many white folks are sitting online now. They got their few thousand dollars cocked and ready to send it. When an officer kills somebody, when an ordinary citizen in Florida, one of them stand your ground states, when they stand up and kill you, they're going to bum rush like they did for this no
Breonna
good
Taylor. Battle.
Yeah, in the Breonna Taylor case. And again, that services grandmaster again. But with all of that, they will kill you and pay for the ransom, pay for the high-end lawyer to get them out of that. And they keep an escrow account. And they will, when they say, I quit, meaning they've already been paid in full. And we're the crash dummies running down there with a protest sign, Black Power.
Mm-hmm. Black Power. And that I quit is the taxes we pay. That's their pension. They live for their pension, which is why the Fraternal Order of Police are the ones that we need to expose. They are their insurance company for law enforcement. And these lodges, especially those backwards, saloon towns where you have maybe one sheriff, they are they're easily able to make up their own law, which is why a lot of these bills that have not passed that affected black people, they kill you if they know how educated you are. That was what the slave trade was all about, to make sure that we didn't have books in our hands. And so that is the effects of what we have today. So we cannot continue with the excuse, I don't want to read, or, it's not an easy thing, but you have to train yourself when you're when your life is at stake, by any means necessary, get to the point, and that's where God comes in and gives you wisdom. And he knows. A lot of us have been through so much abuse that mentally we may not be able to retain the information as we can. You know, some could be drugs, some could be domestic violence, whatever the reason is. We all have a limit to learn, but you take that limit and you say, God, I need understanding for this particular thing. And you know God's going to come through when you ask him for help, but we have to do it. Okay. So we got to say, this year I don't want to watch sports. Don't involve yourself in extracurricular activities when we are at war. So every one of us as a soldier have a responsibility to study, even if it's just for a half an hour a day, but study something relevant to law, relevant to human rights. And then before you know it, you'll see all of these violations for years that they have practiced unchallenged up until now. Black power.
That's right. That's right. Black power. That is actually the proverbial one horse town and one house township set. He's a judge, jury, executioner. He's probably the mayor. He's a postmaster general. I mean, he's a fire chief. And then we are railroaded into these townships and many times not even ever heard from again. I'm getting these cases on my desk, brothers. That's why I can just regurgitate and spit these cases out just like this, like it happened to me last night or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to tell you, in America, it is not user-friendly for a melanated man or a melanated woman or any of our melanated children. It is not user-friendly, no matter how much they sing kumbaya, let's get along, let's practice it, let's go tiptoe through the tulips, and how many we want to get smoke one of these skinnies with you, go up to my place, 20 miles up the mountain, oh my, and you're alone in the woods with these people that you don't know, but you just happen to be the only melanated one in the group. They attack you for your melanation. They will kill you for your melanation. I'm just trying to share with you, brothers, the realism of the circumstances as opposed to trying to charm you or to interest you or to frighten you into revolution or anything like that. Just trying hard as I can, brothers, to get mine right so that you will have your rap tight. If you got your mind right, then your rap is automatically tight. I'm just here to share with you, Black Power. Somebody, I want to say boom, chaka, like a cracker on that one. But as we go, brothers, just be mindful of your circumstances and be careful. Just be careful. Don't bait yourself into something. You know it's a dead-end street if a bunch of folks from a job say, let's go to such and such a place. And you ain't never been there, and it ain't nowhere on the map. El Chino, Reno, Hilo. You know, it's not on the map. It's up way back up in there. And you get your butt up there. And when you take a hit off that skinny, and once he gets you high, it's bye, 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 bye. Goodbye. I'm just here to tell you now, you get out of those precarious situations is the message, okay? Stay away from stuff and people you don't know. What makes you want to lure yourself into a certain form of an entrapment, and you're the only black man or woman on the set? They believe, brothers and sisters, they believe in forms, various forms of blood sacrifice, witchcraft, satanic ritualism. They believe in this stuff, man, and they can't wait to get their groove on. So, stay away.
That's right.
Just a warning across America to fast listening, the fast participating audience, please stay away from variable forms, multivarious and multifarious forms of entrapment and isolation. don't be the only melanation on the block, okay? There's no need for it, no call for it, and don't try to impress Mr. White that you're going to rent here anyhow. It's a fool to take your $500,000 investment. And you see grannies do it. Move right into a black neighborhood and attempt a gentrification move. You think this cracker wants to be, he doesn't want the row house, doesn't want the in-house, outhouse, the condominium, the fabulous apartment of this kind. He don't want none of that. Only a fool would take their isolated $500,000 to $1 million investment and move right into a group of rowdy niggas. Like, you're not going to take your $500,000 investment. These are the black people with sense now I'm talking to. Take your $500 to $1 million investment and go move right in the middle of a known rowdy redneck neighborhood. It's just not common sense to me, brother. So if you do it, do it. But it's just not common sense to me that you would do such an act. I am the one who even pulled Diana Ross out of the mess, out of Beverly Hills, Los Angeles mess, and moved her straight to New York City to an uptown, upscale apartment in the sky because these people were writing graffiti and sending hate messages. And it's crazy. This is back, I don't know, 70, 80, 90, whatever year it was. I'm just telling you, brother and sister, if Diana, all her cross moves that she'd made in her life, if she got the hell out of L.A., when the going got rough, she got going. She got the hell out of there. So I don't know what to tell you, but if you're in those isolated situations, brother and sister, it's better that you abandon ship, preserve and protect and save your life than to stay there with them rednecks trying to prove that kumbaya, kumbaya, my Lord, and I'm okay and you okay. And you probably are, but that don't mean you could be okay and dead. You understand? They're not playing around with this stuff. They do it. I'd rather take the gamble and be wrong and get the hell away from it and save my life than to gamble and stay there and the cracker will use you as a blood sacrifice. So... Mm-hmm. So be blessed, brother and sister. Be careful. And just don't be no fool. And let's see, where are we right now? On the, I got a 643. I got another New Yorker out there. Let's try him out. We got New Yorker 646 at 973. You're actually live on Black Power Radio with Dr. Desire and your Sheikh Imam Akbar. Black Power?
Black Power. New Yorker's in the house.
On Black Power at New York 646. Are you there with us? 646 seems to be, I don't know, abandoned or perhaps sleep. But that's what we have for tonight's call. If I can bring up my Fred is Fred, I was going to hit one before Fred is Fred. But those are the callers of this evening, and we're just so happy that you decided to join us tonight on Black Power Radio. It's been a fantabulous time, as always, and we hope that you'll continue to listen and continue to support us here at Black Power Radio. Again, it's at $77Bakers, $77Bakers, that's B-A-K-E-R-S, all capital letters again, $77Bakers, B-A-K-E-R-S, and that's if you want to donate, put up you some advertisement, or just in general, make some money moves towards the new Black Panther Party, towards Black Power Radio, towards just donating to just a worthy black situation. Just keep it strong, black, and stay committed. And thank you for joining us tonight, and I'm going to allow Dr. Mello Desire to give her closing remarks on Ken, the MBPP, and other blacks, black activists, actually litigate, legislate, and get it straight. Black Power?
Black Power. So I want us to look into our affidavit, the Notice of Discrimination affidavit. This will be something that we'll be pushing in the next couple of weeks
So I encourage black family, if you have cases, starting October 10th next week, to start calling in. So that way we can see what laws in your area that we can expose and actually work on, because you would not be the only one going through that case. I'm sure there'll be many others in that situation. But we want to focus on really establishing a quorum of distributing and serving these documents. This will be the first step for our foundation for a new government on record. And as we go along, the laws that are implemented shall be on top. So I really look forward for us as a black nation to really get our first foot in the door and creating a brand new enforcement in judicial, legislative, and executive branch. Just upcoming dates, there is a hearing coming up November 8th. If you are in California or in the Los Angeles area, I encourage you to come down to the Stanley Moss Courthouse at 9:30. I have a civil rights hearing, 111 North Hill Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012. Again, the address for Stanley Moss Courthouse is 111 North Hill Street, Los Angeles, California, 90012. If you have any legal questions or just any state questions whatsoever, you can give me a call, 323-884-8583, and just text actually will be simple as well if you need some advice concerning anything in general. Make sure you give us a call. So I do appreciate Black Power Radio again for giving us the voice for melanated relevance of what's happening and how we can make changes. I also want to have you save the dates if you are also in the Los Angeles area. December 10th, we're having a small opening for the Malcolm X Day, which will be happening May 19th, 20th, and 21st. And this is what we'll be working towards, really exposing and having a brand new government entity. And this can only happen with you, the people. So again, Honorable Iman Sheikh Akbar, thank you for your due diligence and your leadership, and we appreciate you very much for all the work that you are continuing to do. And so, Black family, continue to stay vigilant and stay live. Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power. We're live here on Black Power Radio. And again, thank you, Dr. Desire, and likewise on all of your statements above. And double down on your Malcolm X Day this year, brothers and sisters. Let's get ready to move to the west side. You can't always tie to Central Unit and the East Coast. We're going to have to see how they do it on that west side. We're going to have to go on into Los Angeles for Malcolm X Day. I was just going to invite everyone to be on board, to be live. It ain't no job. Be there, be square. We want you to all be present in Los Angeles, California. The coming year in 22, Malcolm X Day, see, we got our bid in early and avoided the rush. We want everybody, every black activist, every black Pan-Africanist, every black Panther, every black militia that's ready, willing, and able, every black guerrilla, all of the underground army, over-the-ground army, everybody that knows that they have black people's interests in their heart, we want you to show up in Los Angeles all the way through the Malcolm X Day weekend, and we're going to be just one black power like Los Angeles has never seen. That's why you say, what does a Black Power Summit look like? Well, you're going to have to be there to see exactly what the Black Power Summit looks like in Los Angeles, California, for the Malcolm X Day weekend. And we want you all to be there for the Black Power Summit. And, of course, your host again is going to be Dr. Mello Desire. And somehow our co-host, the Sheikh Ali Mam Akbar, will be on the set, rocking the set in Los Angeles this year for Malcolm X. They've been doing a lot of traditional pieces in New York, Atlanta, D.C., all of them involved. We're going to do a Los Angeles piece this year, brother, sister. All your New Yorkers and all your, you know what I mean,
borderline naysayers. We'll take a few naysayers this year and bring them on and get, make them full-blown revolutionaries by the end of the summit, okay? But for real, yeah, brothers, sisters, let's get out here and do it this year in Los Angeles. We look forward to seeing you on the meet and the greet. And we know with all that we've said tonight, we're going to free us from Stephen Biko. We'll be back in South Carolina and North Carolina, my mind. In Pitt County, North Carolina, Greenville is the city. We're going to be there at the main courthouse on October the 27th. And we'll see what Wooden Tooth William Pitt has to say on all of these matters. We'll be investigating and keeping it live. We will keep it black. We'll keep it strong. And we're going to stay committed to the cause of black revolution and to black people. And name and spirit of Honorable Stokely Carmichael, and we know Dr. Kwame Ture, and the one we know is H.R.A.P. Brown. We're saying H.R.A.P. Brown was known as the Imam Jamil Abdullah Alameen, and we're talking Mumia Abu-Jamal and our political prisoners, Mutulu Shakur. Get to know them on our radio station, brother and sister. Get to know who you are and what you represent. They would not do anything. The Vietnamese wouldn't even negotiate. They're talking about going to rebuild a place that got bombed. They say, oh, no, we're not doing anything until you give us black or give us back our social or political prisoners. We just want you to stay woke, brother and sister, because the crack are creeping. And don't you dare let the devil catch you sleeping. Just stay woke, brother and sister. That's the rules of the game, is to stay woke. If you get some wake-up juice here, even if you get some wake-up OJ around here, all day with OJ. But if you wake up just a little bit, brother, we just ask you, beloved sister, to stay and stay woke. Stay woke. And all we have said, all we can say, before we play Marvin Gaye, we got to go out there on that west side and pick up our brother Freddie. Fred should be here at 707-707-805. You're live on Black Power Radio with Freddie's Fred.
Black Power. The show was wonderful. Hey, how you doing, Ms. King, Queen? All right. So check it out. I just got in from the beat, and like I said, the police out here in Oakland, San Francisco, and everywhere in the Bay Area, like Ospar said, it's so bad out here. I'm not really tripping because I'm on my beat every day. But listen, I'm not scared of nobody out here in this world. I'm my main man. Ospar is my main man forever. So what I'm saying is people got to understand what we're talking about. And people don't understand what we're talking about. If they don't, sorry for them. Because the people who believe us, they're the ones that's going to be higher and higher with us. Because like I said, we have to get justice for everybody out here in the world. Because, see, Ospar got a good show on Sunday and Monday night. And I'm going to tell y'all, if you mess with my man, you got to mess with me. But listen, the deal is, everything you're doing, Queen, you're doing a wonderful job. And I really appreciate it. You hooked up with my main man, Ospar. And then I will see y'all next Monday night and next Sunday night, back channel. And like I said, back to my main man, Ospar.
And Black Power, Black Power, Black Power, Fred, and a strong black revolution to my brother. Keeping it strong as always. Fred is Fred coming out of Oaktown, Fairfield, place of Vallejo. You know, it's in Vallejo, Taco Bell stand. I mean, they killed a brother while sleeping right there. Let me see if I can get Doshawn live here. I'm going to try to journalist, brother Doshawn Farad. You are live on Black Power Radio. I don't know if he's still there.
Oh, brother,
journalist. Assalamu alaikum. You're live on Black Power Radio.
Black Power. Alaikum salam, brother. Ma'am, I was making sure I didn't miss the show, brother. That's why I was called. I was actually calling to apologize for missing the show. I thought that I missed it, dear brother.
Oh, we're still here, Black Power.
Black Power. I'm sorry about that. You know, I'm glad that I tuned in. But like I said, I thought that I missed it. I was calling the brother, ma'am, to apologize and to see, you know, the step forward. I was just checking in.
Checking in as always, Brother Doshawn Farad. You're welcome here at Black Power Radio. And, of course, man, Dr. Mello Desire, we know our big problem. We need your help, brother, to promote Los Angeles. We need all the black people to make it to Los Angeles this year for the Malcolm X. You know, traditionally, you do everything in New York, Brother Doshan, but this year we want to have it out in Los Angeles, California. Get y'all all these lazy people, plotters, blotters, and gliders. Get them to Los Angeles. We have a big celebration out there this year. But Doshan, tonight, you are our onboard journalist. And the question tonight, Brother Doshan, can the new Black Panther Party, can the black activists, can the black pan-Africanists, can these black activists, can we litigate, can we legislate, and can we get it right, was the basic question, based on America being a corporation and not necessarily a government, and then realistically has become a peculiar form of one of your old terminologies of capitalistic communism and practicing criminal neglect on black people by convenience. And we're saying to you that the God's government in the heavens and the earth, that remember when Allah says to us, think not that this creation of yours is greater than the creation of the heavens and the earth. And we must understand these things comprehensively. But can we litigate, legislate, and get it straight, given the black drop, Brother Doshan Farad?
Well, Brother Imam, I said for quite some time that I believe our biggest problem organized, I said number one, our biggest problem is being organized, but secondly, our second biggest problem is lack of economic knowledge, economic wisdom. Now, brother, the two best examples of black people collectively organizing economically and then otherwise is the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey's UNIA and the Honorable Master Elijah Muhammad's Nation of Islam, okay? Those two movements, in my judgment, were the best in terms of mass mobilization of black people across the nation as well as across the world. So we have to ask ourselves what happened, okay? Remember, Brother Imam, even if you weren't a member of the UNIA or the Nation of Islam, going back over 50 years ago and even less than that, say, in the early 70s, black people in America were mass organizing until, of course, integration and before that, the counterintelligence program, I should say along with that instead of saying before that, destroyed the black liberation movement, whether you were a nationalist, pan-Africanist, or integrationist, regardless of which side of the spectrum. Black people lack organization, and we lack economic a unity, if you would, pooling our resources together. And it's very sad, you know, as a journalist, whenever I travel to these different conventions that are put on by professional and so-called educated black people, it's, you know, covering these events and writing these events and reporting from these events or on these events, whenever you mention black independence or economic independence or economic empowerment for black people in these circles, you get looked at like you're crazy, like you're saying something that is alien, as if though this is something new. Okay, and so that's my biggest issue. So right now, brother, we have to ask ourselves, what were we doing before integration, before the counterintelligence program destroyed the black liberation movement? And is it, you know that. So I believe that a question, Brother Imam, is yes, we can unite or we can mobilize, if you would. And I'm paraphrasing, of course, your question. We can do that. We just have to ask ourselves, what did those before us do? But this is the thing. Not only must we emulate, if you would, what those before us did, we have to enhance it. We have to take it a step further. It isn't enough to keep quoting Garvey and Elijah. You have to graduate from what Garvey and Elijah and others put forth. And so, you know, oftentimes a lot of us within the black liberation movement, specifically those of us that identify as nationalists and pan-Africanists or Afrocentrists, we do nothing. You know, we were with Brother Umar Johnson last month. He said, all we do is debate, debate, debate. We're not producing anything. And it's something that Brother James and Tuli, used to always say. You know, he would say, okay, fine, we got all this knowledge. Okay, brothers or sisters, you got $5? In other words, what are you producing? What buildings are you purchasing? You know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, buy land, buy banks. But all this knowledge that we have and this high science and these theories that we have, whether it be communism, whether it be Kwame Nkrumah's African socialism, whether it be Afrocentricity, Pan-Africanism, what are we building? What lots are we purchasing? What banks are we buying? What community centers are we opening? How many jobs are we providing to our people? We do all this talking, but are we offering jobs to our people? When you came into the UNIA or came into the Nation of Islam, a brother Imam would tell you, you know, you get put right to work doing what? Selling Muhammad Speak, selling bean pies. Or in the Garvey movement, they would have a business for you to work at or here, sell these products. But are we doing that? Are we producing anything? What are we doing with all this knowledge that we have?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, I'm done.
Thank
you,
brother. From?
Thank you. I'm in New York, and you know, Imam Akbar, that's my imam. You know, so Akbar tracks me, and I track him. But actually, you know, I'm also a part-time DC head.
Oh,
but
that's
I'm from Imam Akbar's old stomping ground. I'm from East Orange, New Jersey, the home of Whitney Houston, Naughty by Nature. You know, yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
That's what's up. Yeah, so New York is a very powerful location as well. With Harlem there, I used to live in Brooklyn. I actually graduated from NYU not too long ago, so I'm pretty familiar.
Yeah. I was at NYU the other day, beloved. I know NYU very well, Queen. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir. So what I would encourage you to do, because you definitely sound like a great leader, and to focus on the notice of discrimination that we've been discussing earlier. This is the first step for accountability. So I would like to have a meeting with you off-key to delegate our people in New York so they can actually be on the same page. While we work on the website, we're working on the social media aspects. So this time next year, by this next month, November, we'll be able to have a platform where people just go on the line and they'll see everything they need to know. And I agree with you 100% with a lot of the things you said, that a lot of people talk. We do so much talking. At the same talking that I do is particularly for giving instruction. Now, if this instruction is not being followed or it's not being heard, it kind of defeats the purpose of our argument. So that's why I want us to, the platform that Brother Iman is doing, is it has to be taken very, very seriously. So I know I just came on the scene, but I've been black all my life, and all I know is black empowerment. And the trenches a lot of our leaders been through, we have to take and acknowledge, and that's why Stephen Biko, Brother Biko's case is so important, to keep reminding ourselves that we have the luxury to actually make the changes. So I do look forward to hopefully meeting you in person, but I definitely want to work with you and the other ministers behind the scenes to really establish a weekly meeting quorum so that way we can discuss the plans of action, because this is not, you know, this is not something we're doing. It's just dialogue. So in the next 3 weeks, the notice of discrimination, the affidavit, the brothers who have cases currently, they have to call in. They have to email, or you gather them together. A lot of brothers are going through discrimination, incarceration in the East Coast. The area that you stay in, let's start off small. 10 to 12 people, make a quorum, write it down. Make a plan and say, I want to reach out to these brothers who have cases or people that I know who have cases, and let them know that there's a notice of discrimination affidavit that is going to be a legal document. This is a legal document that we have created. So it emulates the very verbiage of the Constitution on this affidavit. And I know we're running out of time, but I would like probably for next week to go through the whole page of the affidavit. I only went through partial of it. But on it, the officer who arrested or the judge who is supposed to be over your case, all of these players are supposed to be on this affidavit. And that's why I say if mass incarceration is the black man's main objection from the oppressor, when they can't kill you, they will make sure that you're arrested. So one of the two, we can't continue with those chances to stay idle. And this new Black Panther Party,
notice of affidavit discrimination notice is our legal document that says everything. And it, I don't care how old your case is. If that person wants to seek justice, we have to start with these affidavits. And 3 months from now, we will have a national database where people can online know how to advocate for their cases, but they have to seek closure. We can't force the man to do what we're instructing if they don't apply simple instruction. So that's what I want to work with you on and encourage the other ministers or anyone who's listening. Black family, this notice of discrimination is our first plan of action. And if I'm giving the role of Minister of Justice, I take that very, very seriously. And I don't mean to be mean, but I'm being direct, and I don't play. If I say this is what we need to do, there's a reason why I say it, because I've been in the trenches for 7 years taking notes in the lion's den. So as we go along, you'll know my full story, because I haven't divulged all of the work that I'm doing now. But when it comes to the law in these courthouses and the law enforcement and the judicial branch, there is nothing that is in place right now that we cannot take down immediately. So, again, I appreciate your time, Black Power.
Black Power, beloved.
Black Power to the both of you are definitely key figures in keeping the Black Power Radio major focal point of the Black Power movement, of the Black Panthers and all the Black activists and Black Pan-Africanists. Please don't forget the Malcolm X Day in Los Angeles. You don't want to miss it. You want to be there and not be square. But Dilshan Farad, again, we tip the hat, we tip our kufi to a brother who has sacrificed, and that long-standing journalist. He has a very, very unique style of writing and presentations, but extremely effective as a journalist, highly underrated as a Black activist as well. And we keep it strong and focused here at Black Power Radio. We thank you both. And again, to you, Black Power, strong Black Revolution, all that we can say, all that has been said, we always know that the marvelous Marvin Gaye said it best. Let's free Stephen Biko and Black Power, Black Power, Black Power.
Don't go and say things about my father. God is my friend. He made this world for us to live in. He gave us everything. And all he asks of us is we give each other love. Honey, don't go and talk about my father. God is my friend.
Talk about
he loves us whether or not we know him. And he'll forgive all.
Thank you.
everything that's held us down. But now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go. And where we'll end up, I don't know. But we'll let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together. We're polishing up our act. If you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore.
and we're going to continue the process of claiming our identity and setting the standards for our people of color. We'll not be controlled by the old slave master and its covert racism. No other race of people, no Jews, no Indians, no Chinese, let an outside invader control their community in a way that is harmful and poison our people and incorporate bias, prejudice, and bigotry in the standards and racial profiling and willfulness to terrorize our community and do psychological damage to our children every day and destroy our culture with their commercials and their exploitation of their TV programs. They facilitate tyranny. They have developed the standards of what they call terrorist actions. And so if you don't develop an economic program and promote it, if you don't organize your race with a political program and promote it, and if you don't get the conscious level to understand this hostile enemy is not turning back, and you try to promote racial harmony, you're out of your damn mind. You're out of your damn mind. You can't even do it on Sunday when everybody's supposed to be praying. It is time for an African revolution. It is time for an African revolution. Any people with dignity and respect would have a revolution of economics. The fundamental purpose of revolution means complete constructive change. We need complete constructive change. We are not just Africans in America, we are Pan-Africanism. Pan-Africanism means you understand that right across the water, nationwide, this world is full of people who look like you, from Brazil to Jamaica to Haiti to all of the Caribbean islands and the 54 nations of Africa and Hawaii and everywhere you look, you are. But you have not developed the technique to see yourself because you don't want to talk revolution. Because you don't want change with you as the solution. You want a concept with your soft heart, or can we all get along? You still listening to Rodney King. No, you can't have a commitment to develop your enemy army against you, your enemy police department against you, your enemy courtrooms against you. That's not an effective revolution. Your children must be trained leadership from birth to control their own, to achieve their own goals, to understand nationhood and a higher ideal of what nationhood is from their own standards that you're committed to develop. We're a dynamic people, but we have helped every race of people self ourselves. Right now, if you walk out your damn house, you're going to get some gas from a foreigner gas station. You're going to buy some Chinese food from a Chinese. You're going to take your cleaning, which you've been washing white folk people clothes all your life, to another race of people to wash your clothes who don't live in your community and don't love your children, and you're going to help improve their children's lifestyle. We got children graduating right now from all the colleges and institutions around this country and come back and have to work at Walmart because we ain't developed the corporations. We ain't opened these old buildings up. We studied been trying to buy a damn Ferrari, Porsche, and a Rolls Royce, a big house. And our kids come back from college like Carter D. Woodson put in the miseducation of the Negro with nowhere to go but to a white man to ask them for a job, which means that damn degree and that education don't mean nothing because that white man is going to hire his daughter, his nephew, his son. And after that, he's going to hire his people. Ain't nothing all right until black men and black women, Africans, participate responsibly in doing something for self. And if you're going to start talking economics, you got to talk about building a group to defend it. It ain't a white man to build a bank and don't have a guard at the door. It ain't a white man to build a mansion and don't put cameras on it first. It ain't a white man to build a nation and don't develop a defensive mechanism to keep people from taking what you build. Stop being scared of building a black army that could protect your community. And in, when it's time for self-defense, carry out their duties in self-defense with the logic of saving their mother, father, sister, cousin, auntie, and their community. We need to be baptized in economics, baptized in culture, baptized and a new political mindset with the logic of doing for self. You better act as the Jewish race and be aware of who you are and constitute and build a constitution and develop a mindset that you don't need your enemy for you to reach your goal. The COINTELPRO said their job was to neutralize the rise of a black messiah and to neutralize black organizations from organizing and participating and working together. The injustice the FBI did alone give me the right to get on this phone tonight and teach respect to this group of people that's been so beat up, so lynched, so murdered, so raped. The determination for us not to fall any deeper into a coma is a blessing. And this is a period and a time where we don't have to take back door, apologize to nobody for our focus. You better get on the advanced liberation team and develop the mindset of self-help and start identifying yourself as an African and understand clearly that's all you need. And when you get to this crossroad, don't go right, don't go left, go straight. You got the right after all the hell you done took for 450 years to organize and discover the power in yourself. You are an empire in an empire.
And all
Love your mother, love your brother, love your mother, love your brother, love your brother.